It's Cofield and Company on ESPN, Las Vegas.
We weren't very tough. We may have looked like it, but we were tough enough to get through two-thirds of the season. In my mind, I think very tough. I think toughness is an attitude. Caring about the people around you is an attitude. Your desire to learn football, your desire to learn what you're supposed to do, your desire to get better, not only for yourself, but for the people around you, is an attitude.
Greg Salerno's here. Cofield. On a Wednesday, I warned Greg during the break that the self-deprecation, we were just talking about sprint speeds and the kind of shape we're in now, you got to be careful with that because the audience hears it and they're like, these guys are just complete goofs who've never played anything in their life. Because we got into this conversation last week. Nye was on, Nye Zaragoza, and I was talking, we had a topic like, hey, what could you do in the Olympics? I'm like, nothing. I'm old. These are like world-level athletes, even at sports that you think are easy. When I'm going to play water polo, I drowned in 4 seconds. And she's like, oh, you're a total non-athlete. And I was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. I was like, amongst regular people, I'm fine. These are superhumans. And right. I went down this whole path, Griffin will remember this, about racket sports. Like, even at this age, I played enough racket sports that I would beat just about anyone in the building, not Doug, because Doug played JUCO tennis. But you know, when I talk about playing at this age, then it hits me because I've been talking a while about, hey, you know what? I'm going to pick up pickleball. It's easier than tennis. I talked to one of our salespeople. Have you heard this?
No.
Erod last week was like, I'm going to try pickleball. He's like, I played, you know, pretty good amount of tennis. He's like, yeah, ruptured Achilles. Like, I'm out.
No.
I'm out. And I'm sorry I told you that story. Because every time I've had now three people I know just kind of leisure, you know, playing sports, Achilles goes. I'm like, I'm done.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
It's too much exertion, man. It's short sprints, you know.
Well, you were trying to get us to sprint last hour.
Yeah, that's far. I'm talking about back and forth, real short. Like,
well,
quick
if you're
twitch.
Running a 40, what are you going to get off to a slow start? You're trying to explode. There goes true. The Achilles. There, it ravels right up, wraps right up your leg, rolls right up Salerno's leg.
I feel like I'll be fine. My Achilles are very strong.
Caleb Herring is in. I think he has strong Achilles. I guess we'll find out if there's any stair climbing to do. He actually, you know what? Caleb's very good at carrying the equipment when the old guys can't carry it. And he's done it upstairs, like at Fresno. Caleb, how are you?
I'm doing good. My Achilles are fine. They're intact. I can still go a little bit, I think. Maybe, like you said, I agree, not to Olympic standards. Although, I think I could score some points in breakdancing. I don't think it's returning in 2028, but I may be able to get on the board in breakdancing.
I don't think you're better than Ray Gunn. I've seen your move. You dance, you get a little overbite.
Just a little bit. I mean, what's the standard, though, of Olympian now, though? I think the rest of the Olympic athletes were probably more upset than anybody about the fact that that was an Olympic performance because it's now stealing all the thunder of everything else that happened. That was great. Like, Ray Gunn is like one of the most popular sensations of the Olympics. And because of her, breakdancing will not be back.
We were talking about flag football in 2028. Greg is very arrogant. He's an arrogant American, and he thinks we're going to roll. I think we're going to have a 3-on-3 situation where we don't respect it and we don't send a good team. Kaepernick said he wants to play at 40. Caleb Williams in Hard Knocks said he wants to play. Caleb, you ain't playing flag football in the Olympics. No. Come on, man. You're going to have a contract. What are you going to be, like 36 or something? What would you be in 4 years? Like you, there's no way you would win a gold at flag football as a quarterback.
No, I'd win a gold. I'd win gold. At 36, I'd win gold for sure. There's no doubt in my mind that I'd be bringing back the gold for the United States. I'd be game. I'd want to try it. I mean, obviously, it depends on, you know, kind of how the rules were allowed. I don't know. There's some really intense flag football that is played here locally. And I know we've talked about it before, but it gets intense out there. So flag football is kind of a different sport. So honestly, I don't know how well I translate. But in its inaugural season, I don't think America will take it lightly. And I do agree that we will roll. I think we'll put a quality team out there. Bill Belichick will come out of retirement and coach it. So there's all kind of things that I think will prove that we'll be there, especially at home, on our home field. There's no way. There's no way we're going to roll out some amateur team and not take it seriously. We're going to bring out the big guns. Patrick Mahomes might make the first Olympic team if they do the 2028 flag football.
Are you guys insane? See how much these quarterbacks make? If I'm an owner, I'm like, you're not playing flag football when I've got you under a contract. What are you going to admit? You blow a knee and you're out a year and a half and I'm paying you $68 million a year? No.
Now, wait a minute. LeBron James and Steph Curry are making an exorbitant amount of money as well. And they just, you know, went all out for gold in the Olympics because we had a point to prove. It was about America. And that was more important than whatever, you know, the Kansas City Chiefs got going on. Yeah, you're paying some money. But if we want to put our patriotism to the test, if we want to prove a point and assert our athletic dominance on the rest of the world, we will put Patrick Mahomes out there. And he will wear a spangly outfit and he'll throw a touchdown for America because it's better than money. Throwing touchdowns for America, are you kidding me? It's important.
Caleb, I think Steve's way off base here. Not because I think that the NFL players will play. I don't think they need to play. This is a very 1992 versus Angola situation to me where we're just going to be so much better than everybody else. We can send our C team. We can send our D team. We're still going to be the best in the world at football right now, right? American football.
I think basketball is way different than football in that regard, for sure. I think the rest of the world has caught up because the rest of the world is playing.
Right.
The rest of the world is not playing American football.
Right.
At least not at this level. I mean, Canada might be like our closest competition in that regard. But I don't think the rest of the world is even close to being on the NFL. And the proof is in the pudding with how the NFL has tried to expand overseas and through multiple different leagues and avenues. It just hasn't caught on as much, and it's not as entertaining. I mean, soccer still reigns supreme internationally in that regard, and it's really hard to knock them off globally. So football is still an American sport, very much so, whereas basketball, over the last decade since the original Dream Team, the rest of the world has definitely closed that gap. We're still dominant. But the rest of the world has closed the gap for sure. That gap is still wide when you're talking about football.
You know, I was checking out your Twitter a little bit, and I came across a post about UNLV. And I don't know, this might have been like a rhetorical question. Obviously, it's something you cover in the podcast, but it interested me a little bit. One of your questions was, does the 2024 defense have a better attitude? What did you mean by that?
Well, there's certain things that I think Coach Shear had mentioned about, you know, the ability to finish, the ability to be physical, and to really dominate games, and from a physical aspect, but as well as just the mental fortitude of you know, I'm going to take pride in this rep. I'm going to take pride in the coverage. I'm going to understand football to a high level, and that requires such a kind of a football attitude. You can't really put a finger on. There's no one thing you can say that this means you got attitude, but it's kind of a collection of character traits that make for good attitude, especially on the defensive side of the football. And I think Coach Shear summed it up a little bit in fall camp, the different areas that touches on. And the biggest one is, I think, finishing the season. I think you can be have the right attitude and be dominant and assert yourself on the football field for two-thirds of the season was the time frame he put. But unless you finish, then your attitude's not where it needs to be. I think 100% of the time on the defense side of the ball, your attitude and your mindset about the game of football needs to be right. And there's teams within the conference that I think have exemplified that. And one of the teams that I love to watch for their attitude over the past couple of years was San Jose State. And the way they played, you know, almost borderline, you don't want to call it dirty, but that's how it was. But there was such an attitude about them that you felt when you played them. And I think it's imposing when you face a team like that. And I think that's where UNLV wants to be defensively. They want to bring that kind of attitude where winning is the priority at all costs.
We're going to get to a recap of Hard Knocks. And you know, the Bears are on now. Episode 2 is finished. And, you know, Caleb, I say all the time, I wish that every workplace was like a football team and we could all be blunt and honest with each other. And, I was thinking, listening to Shear, and you mentioned it, that bite coming in about toughness and attitude. And, you know, he said, basically, hey, you know, we were tough, but we thought we were. But, you know, we only were tough for two-thirds of the season. Like, someone hears that, and you're like, whoa, that's kind of brutal. Or today we were talking to the running backs coach Cornell Ford, who was going, you know, real positive on Greg Burrell, and he said, "Yeah, but he's also got to kick out some of the high school habits." And he talked about toughness. I often wonder if coaches talked like that, like if our bosses talked like that, like people would freak out. That's why I love being around it. I'm so jealous of you that you got to play high level college football and just get yelled at and demeaned, but also motivated. And there's a standard to reach. Sometimes you got to talk tough.
Yeah, you definitely do. And if that translates to the workplace, to answer your question, there'd be a lot of HR complaints.
Forget about it.
And so the corporation would probably get toppled by its own HR. There's too many labor rights, right? But
too many labor rights.
You're yelling at me. Demean me.
You don't have that on the floor. And it's not in the – I think there's kind of a sanctity of a football field. It's a result-oriented business. And you just imagine, like, at your workplace, if you're constantly under supervision, right? Like, you're constantly being evaluated for your performance, and that was the basis for why I'm yelling at you, or why I'm scolding you, or why you're being, you know, essentially kicked off the business or losing your position. That's what football is. It's constant scrutiny. It's constant pressure to perform. Whereas your regular 9-to-5, you don't have a, you know, I'm just going to put this in the office context. You don't have a camera over the top of your cubicle making sure that you're producing, right? Making sure that you're on top of your numbers. Well, that's the case when you're playing linebacker. Like, okay, this is your one rep. You missed it. You missed the play. Now we're going to review that on film. I'm going to tell you why you missed it. I'm going to be honest with you. You are not fast enough here. You didn't make this tackle. You didn't wrap up. You didn't bring your feet. I'm going to give you the tools while I'm being critical of you to make the improvement. Now in the next practice, you have to go out and do it. And if you continue to not do that, immediately you see the results and you get removed from your position or lose your starting job or you hit the pine. However you want to say it, you lose your spot. That just doesn't exist in the normal world, right? And there's a kind of blunt honesty that you appreciate in hindsight where you became a better person if you receive it the right way. And I think there's a lot to say about the way sports are being, you know, kind of, I hate to say the word softened, but yes, softened. The participation trophies and all that kind of stuff that take away those valuable lessons that make for, I think, more productive members of society once football's done. Tough-skinned people that are willing to deal with failure and harsh criticism and improve. And that's what football was. Like, you get yelled at. You get screamed at. You maybe go cry in the corner by yourself at times because you just got your butt chewed. But then you come back and you improve the next day and you earn it. Every day you earn it. And I think that's what football locker rooms are for. I mean, you get molded into a character-driven person if it's, you know, the right healthy amount of criticism. But you come out a better person for it on the other end. And I think a tougher person, you can't really deny that tough people are good people most of the time.
Talking to Caleb Herring, a lot of excitement, more than usual, at least for UNLV this year for football. One of the reasons is some of the special standout players that they have on the team that we're not used to seeing. Wide receiver Jacob DeJesus is one of the guys I'm pretty excited about. He's very shifty, not a very big guy, but very fast, very good special teams player. What are some of the creative ways they might get him into the offense this year?
There's so many creative ways, especially when you have a guy who takes the game so serious. Right? Special teams is kind of his breakout, but he's a Swiss Army knife. He can be used in so many ways. He's a wide receiver on the depth chart. We saw him last season to end things in the bowl game, particularly taking handoffs out of the backfield. There's so many different ways you can use a guy like him. Definitely under-recruited, under-appreciated because of his size coming out of high school and even out of JUCO. But when you have a guy that sets a standard of work ethic, playing hard, playing tough, day in and day out, you want to find the way to get him the ball in as many ways you can. Coach Marion calls him a dude. He's one of those guys that you just give him the ball in space and let him make a play. Really, there is no limit to how many different ways they can get him the ball, especially in year two of the go-go with so many different varieties of formations and plays and motions that you can already throw just out of the system. And I'm sure they're going to add some wrinkles based on the personnel that they have, whether it's him, Ricky White, Jaden Thomas, the different variety of ways and positions that those guys can play and hurt you from. Guys like Jacob DeJesus will shine in that offense. And I think a priority is to get the ball in his hands and let him be explosive as much as possible. So I'm excited to see, like you are, I'm excited to see the ways that they can get that done this year.
Caleb Herring is with us. I don't know if you know this, but Griffin is a Bears fan. Will you meet up with Griffin on Sundays to go root for the Bears?
I'm watching Hard Knocks and trying my hardest not to. I'm a Packers fan, so this is very difficult.
Oh, wow.
To watch and actually like what I'm seeing from the Bears, because obviously their division rivals and the NFC North just got a whole lot tougher. Maybe the deepest division in football. AFC North maybe has something to say about that. But I'm slowly becoming a fan of what the Bears are doing. And maybe it's because of what the Giants look like on the last season of Hard Knocks. This organization just looks so much more put together right now at this present moment. Even their roundtable meetings with the GM, talking about personnel, how they're going to approach the preseason game with Caleb Williams and what the reps going to look like. Like, that just seems more official. The way they give guys contracts in the middle of practice, they let them go celebrate with the talent show is better. I mean, the Eagle has landed. Classic stuff like that that's going to live on forever. The Bears are really making a fan out of me right now. Obviously, when it comes down to it, I'm going to root for the Packers to continue their dominance over the Bears. But I am intrigued to see what they do in year one with Caleb Williams and what the future looks like with the Bears.
Roma Dunze. Do we have his performance? Can we play this real quick? We got about a 20-second clip here. I heard this misidentified on other radio shows, but of course we know what song this is as Rome stands up, the Las Vegas, in front of his guys. Nice. They roar at the end. Unlike Caleb Williams, who choked and gave up, Rome got up there with like his own, I don't know what that was, giant boombox. And who was that? What song was he doing there?
That is Chris Brown, Kiss Kiss, featuring T-Pain. That was early 2000s, well, mid-2000s, I guess you would say. His sophomore album, Chris Brown, dropped that gem. And it was a banger for the youngins back in the day. But Chris Brown really has dominated the game. That song was a good one. And anytime in a talent show you can get crowd participation, you win, right? Anytime you can get the crowd in on what it is, what's going on, I think that's the W. And I think John Legend was just the wrong selection of songs for that audience. You got to know your audience. That's a hype song. I guess, you know, the millennials in the audience were around the right age group to be, you know, have some nostalgia around that Chris Brown song. So they sang along, and you get the crowd to erupt at the end. You definitely win. Signing bonus wasn't as big as Caleb Williams, so there's a flex for Caleb. But he won the talent show so far. Between him and the Canadian, I think the Eagle Landing, I think that's in close contention for the best performers right now. But crowd participation is definitely a big one.
Also a very cool moment where Roma Dunze is featured talking to a couple of high school kids, who I think were both freshmen, who were, by the way, gigantic. I think they're more basketball players than football. They looked as tall as him. He's an impressive dude. I mean, I know we saw some of him on Hard Knocks with the Giants, and he's a Vegas product. He's, man, physically too, though, when you watch him. Talk about a receiving core. If they can actually distribute the ball to those guys, I mean, they have a monster receiving core if Rome is ready to be, you know, a legit two, and they already have a one and a two.
Yeah, and Keenan Allen, I think, is one of the best veteran receivers to come into the NFL and learn behind in that regard. So he's set up for success, right? The spotlight or the pressure to perform isn't necessarily on him. Like, I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. Probably has more of a spotlight and more pressure to perform because of the situation. But he's in a really good spot. Keenan Allen, I think, taking him under his wing, building that relationship, that chemistry, as well as DJ Moore, who are different stylistically as receivers. So he's getting a different style from both of those guys who are veterans in front of him. And if he can just, you know, spot rep, coming under the radar, you don't expect to get, you know, the bulk of the target. There's not a lot of pressure. You're probably going to get coverage rolled away from you because of what DJ Moore did last year and obviously the threat that Keenan Allen is. But he's going to learn how to be a professional wide receiver very quickly in this league. And I think Caleb Williams will distribute the ball. There's some potential for some highlight-type plays early in his career. Because of how Caleb Williams can extend plays. But with his size, his length, his hands, I think he's going to be a solid addition to that receiving core. One of the top receiving cores in the National Football League. There's a lot of good ones. Yeah. But you got to consider them on the top 10, at least, of receiving cores with the depth that they've added with him as well as Keenan Allen and offseason.
Hard Knocks is going to be pretty light, pretty funny. That's the goal of the show for the most part. The cuts stink. I don't know if they're going to bring them back. We always cry during the cuts. There is some sadness around the Bears, though, and, you know, it's with a guy like Steve McMichael, who's been featured many times as he's having a real rough time with ALS, and I know you have a connection to his story in general.
Yeah, there's connections, and ALS is one of those things that has kind of spread throughout the country, awareness about ALS and what it actually does over the past, my lifetime, really. It's really spread around, and I have, you know, personally in my life, an ALS connection where a coworker and friend is suffering with ALS as we speak. And he's been battling it and obviously going through some things that this disorder brings about in your life, the adjustments you have to make. And one of those adjustments was transportation, getting to and from places, trying not to be too much of a burden with his family. And because of that, he was forced to and wanted to lease a vehicle. And they specially made vehicles to accommodate wheelchairs for ALS patients. And John Curley is his name. He decided that he would get this van that's specially modified so that it can accommodate his wheelchair. And it's obviously an expensive endeavor. As he's paying this off and as ALS is progressed with him, one of his legacy items for him is that he wants to have this van paid off, not only just not be a burden for his family, but so that he can then turn around and the family can use that van and lease it out to other families of ALS patients and be able to take some of the cost burden off of having a vehicle like this available to them to use for day-to-day use. And he started a GoFundMe to try to get that done, and he wants that to be his legacy, to have this as mobility for ALS. And so he started a GoFundMe under John Kirtley's Vision for ALS Mobility. It's a GoFundMe that's John, common spelling, and Kirtley, K-I-R-T-L-E-Y-S. If you add S, that's John Kirtley's Vision for ALS Mobility on GoFundMe. Trying to get this van paid forward and pay it forward and leave a legacy for John and his family to help those that are suffering with ALS as we move forward.
Caleb, we'll get the information out there. I appreciate your time today, and I'll see you soon.
All right, I appreciate you guys. Take care.
There Thanks, he is, man. The former quarterback with the Rebels, Caleb Herring, one of the hosts of UNLV Access podcast. That is up live on Twitter. We'll have a video out. I think it was like a 42-minute show. We're trying to crunch it down a little bit. Last year we went on and on, so we're trying to be more efficient now. But UNLV All Access, a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff with what's going on with the roster and young guys and with UNLV football. Speaking of that, let's give away some tickets, right? We got two tickets to the home opener, Utah Tech. Caller 7-364-1100, 364-1100. That's a Saturday, September 7th game, a noon start. Allegiant Stadium, UNLVtickets.com is the spot to go and get your own tickets. And definitely look into season tickets. They're approaching records, and season tickets are a great deal. They start as low as $150 a seat. That's for the entire season for six games. Club season tickets, which are tremendous, start at $375, and you get the same seat for all those home games. You got great key matchups like Boise State and Syracuse here in town. Fresno is also a home game. That's a longtime rival, and maybe UNLV can start to turn a corner on that one. It's only lower bowl seating, too. So you're going to be in a crowd of, you know, hopefully 35, 40,000, and you're right there with really good seats. UNLVtickets.com, but two tickets we're giving away right now. Caller 7, caller 7, caller 7, 364-1100.
Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Arash Markazi joins Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
Wow, we did it, huh? We really did it. Is that fresh? I'd never heard that before. Wow. Powerhouse voice guy Huff with the Mr. Vegas. That is going to ruffle a lot of feathers, including some feathers of a guy on a show here, Arash's arch rival, Adam Hill, who wants to be Mr. Vegas, but he's out of town too much. Arash is with us, Mr. LA, Mr. Vegas, Mr. Hawaii. Arash, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. Yeah, listen, you can't spend as much time in Costa Mesa as he did and call himself Mr. Vegas. This is You know, there are rules here. There are rules here.
Well, frankly, you're in town, you're in Vegas, and you're certainly more influential up and down the strip. I don't think Adam has ever scared a property to its absolute roots like you have with Fontainebleau. Your attacks are honest but vicious, and there's been changes there. There have been changes over the years. So what that's led to, and Arash, of course, is the CEO of the Sporting Tribune, is this massive expansion of the Sporting Tribune. You teased us the other day with a new site, app, podcast network. Do tell, what is coming up?
So the app will launch next month. The new site is up and running where, you know, we think that this site looks better. It's cleaner. You know, we've grouped the teams. There's a team feed that gets updated throughout the day. So again, we hope that it's a cleaner experience. When we first launched the site, like, I really did it with the like desktop in mind, which is ridiculous. Everyone's on their phone. So I think it's a really good experience on your mobile device. Podcast network. Yeah, we're going to roll out some new podcasts in addition to my show. We're going to have the Sporting Tribune Today. We're going to have a UCLA podcast, Westwood Open House. Donovan Carter from Ballers is a co-host on that show. So yeah, we got a lot of things happening.
It's good times. Good times. We should mention too that you are now, as you hit there, but you're now part of the Lotus Broadcasting family with one of our powerhouse stations in LA. So you moved on from the Mightier 1090 as the Mightier 1090 moved on. Not from you, but just in general. And I'm not laughing. It does suck because that's a legendary brand, but this is pretty creative on your part. So where are you going to be on in Southern California?
So I am on KIRN 670 AM in Los Angeles. It is part of the Lotus family. And again, I have a long history. You know, first day was 25 years ago this week, became the first and I think still only over-the-air Persian language talk station. So went back to them. I said, listen, it's in English, but I would love the opportunity to come back. They jumped at the opportunity, so we're very excited about that partnership. Maybe some other future partnerships, you know, being a part of the Lotus family now. So, yeah, I mean, again, and by the way, 670, I mean, that was the original, you know, when the Jim Rome talked about broadcasting high atop a hot dog on a stick in the Fallbrook Mall. That was 670. So there's a long history of sports broadcasting there.
Talking to Arash Markazi, CEO of the Sporting Tribune. Brand new. Hey, I wanted to ask about the Olympics a little bit because obviously they're going to LA now, the next one, 2028. Well, the next warm one, the only ones I watch. I was wondering because people are comparing it to France already, saying it's not going to compare, that Paris so much better. I've never been to Paris. Steve calls me a dumb American. I kind of am. But it's just all I've heard about Paris that smells like toilets and pee and stuff. How in the world could it possibly be? That's all I've heard. Anybody has told me they've gone there. How could that be better than LA? That makes no sense.
No, listen, I mean, Paris is amazing. I highly recommend you go at some point. But listen, I think that the Olympics were incredible. And I think, you know, the immediate knee-jerk reaction is, you know, how is any city, not just Los Angeles? I mean, how can you top that? Well, I think Los Angeles now has 4 years. You know, to look at everything that Paris did, try to improve upon it. You know, I'm very excited because a lot of the facilities that they have, you know, they are already in place. They are already some of the finest in the world, from SoFi Stadium, the Intuit Dome, which opens tomorrow with a Bruno Mars concert. That's the $2 billion new home of the Clippers. So, listen, yeah, I mean, listen, the gauntlet was thrown down. Paris did an amazing job. Los Angeles, I'm very confident Los Angeles can do just as good a job. The one thing that they can't probably do, the volleyball setting in front of the Eiffel Tower, that was incredible. I do have to give them their props. I don't think Los Angeles will top that.
There's some pretty good settings in LA, though.
I agree. But, you know, we'll see what they do. They're going to get creative. I'm still not happy about softball being moved to Oklahoma City. I mean, they had 4 years to figure out a suitable location, at least nearby. My goodness, come on. Oklahoma? That's ridiculous.
What about Arash is with us, Ken?
No, sorry. I was going to say, did you check out the breakdancing at all, by the way?
I loved it. That's not going to be back in 2028. I'm so bummed. I mean, on the streets of Los Angeles, we could have had some amazing competition. But unfortunately, again, it's a yin and yang. You know, we're going to have flag football. We're going to get baseball. We're going to get softball, despite the fact that it's not in the state of California or nearby. But we got new sports coming in, and sadly, No Ray Gun. She will not be in 28 in the Olympics.
So awesome. Arash is with us from the Sporting Tribune. Last couple things on LA. We started to get into this conversation the other day with, I guess, the real Mr. Vegas on this show. Otherwise, we get in trouble if we don't call him that. Adam and I were talking about Mayor Bass and the proclamation that no cars in LA for the Olympics. Now, I don't mean like all roads are going to be shut down, but can they execute that? Is there enough with public transport? That would seem to be a tough task in a driving city.
Yeah, I don't think so. I get that that's a good goal to have. I don't think that that's likely or possible. I do remember in 1984, at least what I've been told. I mean, I was a kid back then. But listen, I think you scare people to the point of, like, they don't want to drive. And if you don't have anything to do with the Olympics, maybe that's the time that you go on your vacation. Maybe that's the time that you, you know, again, when we had Carmageddon in Los Angeles, I mean, people just kind of adapted to, if I don't have to drive within, you know, a 2 mile zone of, you know, SoFi and Intuit Dome and Crypto.com Arena and all these places, like, don't go there. But the problem is public transportation is not great in Los Angeles. I know they're going to improve it, but no, people will want to drive. It is a driving city.
You've been talking about the setup as they build it up more and more around SoFi and now with the Intuit Dome. And I saw an announcement yesterday. Ooh, this is going to actually start up like tomorrow. Are they doing some kind of extensive shuttle down to the Intuit, which the city's I see right now there's five spots, but I'm seeing a couple of them. Culver City and then Woodland Hills, Pierce College.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, those are long rides. If there's a nice, affordable shuttle to get you around and get you down to events, I think that's pretty cool.
Listen, I love the creativity of the Clippers, you know, basically really kind of saying, you know, if you don't want to drive or parking is a problem or you don't want to pay for parking or whatnot, yeah, I mean, there's an affordable solution. So, you know, love that they've really reached out beyond just, you know, the heart of Los Angeles, you know, going to the Valley, Woodland Hills. What a great time to be from Woodland Hills. Not only are the Rams opening up their new facility, although it got delayed, so they're not quite there yet. But before the beginning of the season, they're going to, you know, move, have their new facility in Woodland Hills. And now the Clippers are basically saying, if you live in Woodland Hills, we're gonna give you transportation to and from the games.
We were talking earlier about Kaepernick and about how he wanted to play in the football, flag football, the next Olympics, something like that. What about this story about Harbaugh offering him an NFL, a QB, you know, a job, a position with the team? If you're Kaepernick, do you even take it?
I would love that. I mean, I would. I'm sure he has, you know, I mean, I don't know if he wants to coach. I mean, you know, coaching is not for all former players. Some former players want to get into coaching. But, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, former coach, of course, with San Francisco, they went to the Super Bowl together. So, listen, would love to see him back. I do think sort of like the comeback story in terms of him playing, that ship has sailed. I mean, the only reason that I say that, I mean, I covered his last game, but that was back at the Coliseum, I want to say like 2019 or something. So, I mean, it's been a while. So, like, if he was just out of the league for like a couple of years, that'd be one thing. So, but again, would love to see him back in some way, shape, or form.
Do you think this is just a pub stunt by Harbaugh?
You know, I don't, because I don't know that why that would help him. Like, right. I think he genuinely, listen, Jim Harbaugh has gone to one Super Bowl, and Colin Kaepernick was his quarterback. So there is a connection there. The two are still clearly in touch. So, you know, the question is, does Colin want to do that? And by the way, he may not. He may want to still come back and play. And if not, he may want to do something else with his life. But I mean, I think it'd be great if he came back and coached.
At Sporting Trib, the CEO, Arash Markazi, is here with us. Go check it out as they're redesigning the site. They've got, I swear you guys had like five contributors. I shouted out your boy Fredo last week, and he's just everywhere. His coverage is absolutely tremendous. I do have to make one more mention. I mentioned Woodland Hills. I got to make one more mention. If people weren't following us on Twitter, and why aren't you? We had a little kind of back and forth conversation about one of the bars I like to frequent when I visit on, I think it's on Satakoi, in the mean streets of Canoga. Did you ever see the follow-up on the lady ramming into a taco shop five times and breaking down the wall of my bar?
I didn't. You know, we were in touch about it, and then you texted me, and I think you may have texted me the update, but I didn't get a chance to click it yet. But is there like a Cliff Notes version?
Well, it turned out she used to work there. Her I think her mom still works there, but she had some sort of workplace beef. She's been gone for 4 years. She took her SUV and rammed in five times and was trying to run over everything. No one got hurt, but the bar next door, the instant replay, the wall got knocked down, so they're going to be closed for a while, so I'm not happy about that. I like the bars in the Valley. There's some good spots.
There are great spots, and again, I think more and more people are going to maybe experience it now. I hope with Woodland Hills being the home of the Rams that like other teams look at the San Fernando Valley. I know the Los Angeles Kings used to practice there back in the day before they moved to the South Bay, but yes, great pubs, great hole-in-the-wall bars. Love the Valley.
A lot of malls, past and present, and of course, exactly. El Torito. If people don't understand, Arash is on because we definitely want to talk about L.A. The ulterior motive is I need somewhere to stay at some point because it's getting very expensive, so I can crash on his couch. I'm going to take you back to the beginning of the show, Salerno. Were you paying attention when Yogi Roth was on?
A little bit.
Yogi did something that he shouldn't have done. Because we were talking about Elite 11, which is this big quarterback camp for high school quarterbacks, and Yogi's part of it, Arash, and he's like, oh, you guys should come down next summer for Elite 11. And I started looking into it. Elite 11 is in Manhattan Beach.
Wow.
So
is it in the high school?
Have to look for the site.
Okay.
But
Elite 11. Okay.
Yeah, Elite 11, Manhattan Beach. So like this year, USC commit who may stiff him in the end. But a kid from Georgia that we were talking about who might flip to possibly Dion, or we'll see where else he could go. Now I'm blanking on the kid's name as I look through the list. But
Julian?
Yeah, Julian Lewis.
Yeah.
I wonder what, like, if we went down, we stay with Arash and we just walk over or whatever, drive over, you know, Uber over. Like, if Yogi's like, wait, what are you doing here? Like, you invited us last year on radio.
Yeah.
Let's do it. I won't even get a heads up. Let's do it. Let's just go.
We should.
Right?
It's like when you invite somebody to your house. You're like, hey, man, you should come stay sometime, but you don't really expect them to ever.
Then they're like, I'm taking up in the offer. Like, whoa.
Yeah. I wasn't serious.
You know, by the way, that was the biggest thing about moving to Vegas is that, you know, you kind of casually tell people like, oh, like you can come. And I forget, like, no, like when people come to Vegas, they want to be out late and I don't. And so
I don't
invite people to stay over anymore.
You were. I remember we went to a Mexican joint. You were falling asleep at like 8:45. Come on, Arash.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Like, those are the old days. That was like the single me. Now I watch I can't even get through like the late night games anymore. This is ridiculous.
It's tough. I did maybe a shot or two to wake myself up during. I like Hard Knocks. No, I like Hard Knocks, but by the time I got to watching it last night, it was like 10:30, and I'm a late night person, and I was starting to lose it. One last thing to mention: I want to pop the Dodgers here because we got a Yankee fan across the way. I'm a Yankee fan. Arguably, they could be the two best teams in baseball. Mookie Betts is back, so that's a good thing. Arash, do you feel like, because I'm going to ask Salerno, watch what happens. I'm going to ask Salerno if he thinks the Yankees are in good position to make the World Series. How do you feel now about the Dodgers now that they have players returning? River Ryan went down, which sucks. That was a good arm. How do you feel right now?
I feel good. And I said this when they were struggling. I said that, like let's wait till they get healthy. Mookie Betts will come back. Clayton Kershaw, Walker Buehler, Yoshinobu Yamamoto, when he comes back, they do expect him to come back before the end of the season. I said, like, when they get healthy, Max Muncy is going to come back at some point. So, like, when they're fully healthy or at least close to healthy, in my view, this is still the best team in baseball. That being said, you know, I still have a little bit of PTSD from the last two seasons when they went over 100 games, you know, finished, you know, with a 12-game, 20-game lead atop the division and then losing to the Padres and losing to the Diamondbacks in the division series. So, I do believe they are the best team in baseball. It's kind of proving me right now. They're tied for the best record in baseball. So, they are right where I thought that they would be.
Greg, real quick, while Arash is on the horn.
Yankees?
Yankees World Series?
Absolutely not.
They're not going to be that quick.
They're not going to hit. They're not going to hit. We're going to get to the playoffs.
You're talking, they had like 12 home runs the other day.
Yeah, great. They're going to have zero. They're not going to hit.
Soto, stand and judge. Like five homers a game.
It happens every time. They're like the old, like when the Raptors would be great in the regular season, then they get to the playoffs and LeBron just runs right through them by himself. I'm telling you, they're not going
to
hit.
They're like the Raptors.
Well, I'm trying to think of a good regular season team.
That's a good thing to reference. But Arash, we appreciate it. Good luck with the radio show. By the way, I feel like you don't have a set time yet. I don't. I'm like trying to find it.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, we are a late night show. It's 10:30 in Los Angeles. But and we talked about this. We now are doing the show live on Twitter. We're following in your footsteps. So generally, we like to go on right after the last local game. So you know, after the Dodgers game, the Padres game, and all those games are done, we'll hop on live. Well, lives have been going well for us. The other day, we had 2,500 people on the live.
That's
so
beautiful. By the way, you're not really following my footsteps. We did the late night podcast, but I actually stole that idea from the Kamenetsky brothers. So they don't care or know who I am. But I was like, yeah, it's a good concept. Screw them.
Exactly. Take it. Yes. Love it.
All right, Arash. We'll see you, buddy.
All right. See you. Bye.
There he is. I think Harbaugh, this is a pub stunt. I don't think he cares. Well, because he's back Kaepernick a few times.
Yeah.
You know, when people would mock on Kaepernick's tryouts, like he invited him out to talk to Michigan, and
I get it. But like,
I have no idea what Kaepernick is doing, like on a day to day basis. But if he has a lot of causes he wants to push, and I'm sure he's very active.
Sure.
I'm sure Harbaugh would welcome on the Charger staff. There'd be visibility. He'd get to do interviews. He'd be under the NFL cloak. And I think it would be a position. They have 700 coaches on these staffs.
Right.
Where he wouldn't have to be there all the time. But he'd get a little more of a spotlight.
More like an ambassador than a coach or something.
I mean, whatever it is, right?
What makes Harbaugh – this is why I agree with you that it's probably a pub stunt. Because what makes him think that oh, I need a coach. I want Colin Kaepernick. Like, what about Kaepernick makes you think that he's going to be able to coach?
He couldn't coach quarterbacks?
Maybe. I don't know. That's what I'm saying. But is he special in some way that
I don't
need
know.
Him as a coach?
Are a lot of – well, yeah. I mean, I think the guy's a pretty good communicator. He played in the NFL.
Do we know that?
I think we've seen it.
I guess. I'm not saying he's going to be bad.
It's funny. People go back now and they've like rewritten history. First, like what his protests were about. That's completely misrepresented.
Sure.
And they're also like, sucked. Like, he didn't suck.
No, I'm not saying.
He took a team to a Super Bowl and he couldn't, you know, they weren't a winning organization.
Right.
When he was there at the end. But like, it's clear he could have played in the NFL every year. And I'm not saying as a starter.
Right.
He could have challenged. I mean, Sam Darnold's going to be a starter this year in the NFL.
But you're confusing playing with – I'm talking about coaching. Like, as far as, like, usually the guys that you get to coach are, like, Jason Avant, a guy who was, like, a possession receiver who was, like, really into, like, the X's and O's. Do we know that about Kaepernick, that he's liked?
I think coaches come from all different sorts of playing backgrounds.
But is he interested in coach? I mean, I'm just saying, I have no idea if he's even a coach or thinks he's a coach or knows anything about coaching.
I don't know that part. Well, but I've seen a lot of people I didn't think would ever coach.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying it couldn't be. I'm just asking, like, what was it about him that Harbaugh's like, oh, yeah, I need this guy as a coach.
He's got some loyalty to him, like a Rosh.
Exactly.
Said.
So, pup's done.
The pup's done angle. We got to get to a break here. We're going to run out of time. But I'll mention my pup's done angle on this coming back.
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hit the text line right now. We got a cool giveaway, 702-364-1100. We got two tickets to go see I Prevail, Hailstorm, Hollywood Undead, Fit for a King, Saturday Night Show, Planet Hollywood, Ticketmaster.com. All you have to do, and it's not a race, but you got to do it in the next 10 minutes, 702-364-1100. Text us the lead singer's name from Hailstorm. You can go see I Prevail, Hailstorm, Hollywood Undead, Fit for a King, or grab your own tickets, Ticketmaster.com. We got a pair of tickets we'll give away on our Finley Kia text line. You've met this lady?
I have. Very nice. Very nice lady.
Yeah.
We did a meet and greet, and she was very cool. Act like we'd known each other. You know, you meet somebody, and then you know, they act like they've known you forever type of thing. She was really cool.
There's something about female lead singers.
Yeah.
With rock bands.
Yeah.
It's always kind of special.
It is. They're very nice.
Well, not all of them. I'm not saying it's so unique going back in history.
Well, no, I don't mean nice as in personality.
Oh, you meant nice that way.
Yeah,
nice.
Yeah, that kind of nice.
Okay. Back in the back?
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
What I meant by the Harbaugh pub stunt with Kaepernick is just to deflect some attention away from the Michigan stuff. That said, I don't think he cares. I think he went up there last week, and he did his little, you know, dog and pony show, and, you know, don't lie, but if you do, say you're sorry and be better, you know, and I'm moving on.
Yeah.
Well, I apologize. No, he's not going to apologize. He doesn't care. He is a win-at-all-cost guy, and for Chargers fans, that's going to be awesome. Until he starts pissing off players or ownership, and then they'll tell him to get the hell out of town. So, but he's in good position because we were talking about the Niners a while ago. Harbaugh did wondrous work with Colin Kaepernick, who was really never better than a top 15 quarterback. So with Herbert, if he's healthy, Chargers have a chance to do something here.
I remember that one playoffs where Harbaugh against the Packers, man. He looked like he was going to be the best player in the league. Like, you know, he looked amazing that one game. And then, you know, whatever happened.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
How do you steal $1.5 million worth of chicken wings? The lady's labeled as a school worker. I was hoping it was just a lunch lady. There was a grand scheme to steal a bunch of ham. Years passed, and it was the same thing. It was like millions and millions of dollars worth of chicken wings or ham in that case.
This is crazy because originally I thought, like, oh, this poor old lady was like just taking some food home for her family or something in her purse and got caught. No, 1.5 million. They said 11,000 cases. Wow. Now, if you've ever worked somewhere where you order food, there's always these companies you order from. 11,000 cases. She intercepted all of them and took them. And Chris Jones said he's going to pay off the 1.5 million. To get her out. I'm like, dude.
Very generous.
But that's a criminal. I mean, it's not like she just got wrongfully. I mean, I don't know if she did it or not, but she did do it.
We almost never do giveaways at the end of the show. I want to reward the audience here with a second giveaway. We got Sparks. Check that. Aces and Sparks tickets, 4-pack. ESPN Fan Zone is coming up on the 18th at the MUA, 3 o'clock start, AXS.com. And the Fan Zone is brought to you by Westar Credit Union and Finley, Volkswagen, Henderson, Griffin on the phones. 364-1100 is very versatile. On the phones, caller 7 for a 4-pack of tickets to go see the Aces. Thank you, Griffin. Thanks to all our guests. Greg, great job. We'll see you.